familiar strangers. The wedding reception was in full swing. Excited guests cheered the dancers on the floor. All 12 women on the bridal train made a circle of wriggling and winding bodies around the newly minted Mr. and Mrs. Ebikpade. Naira and dollar notes rained down on the embracing couple in the middle, everyone ignoring the central bank's directive to give cash gifts in an envelope because Nigerians. Elo diligently played her role as maid of honor. She scrambled around, picking up the notes as they fell, but that did not get in the way of her winding her waist and shaking her moneymaker. Away from the pressures and catastrophes of Lagos, Elo was literally and figuratively letting her hair down. The vigorous dancing also helped her pretend that she couldn't feel her mother's eyes following her across the room. Did all daughters feel their mother's energy the way she did? She didn't even have to look at her to know where she was sitting. But Elo was putting on the performance of her life by not actually acknowledging her own mother at all, not even as she stood beside her best friend while she took her vows in church. Like with all performances, Elo's audience, the townspeople, were mostly vicious critics and cynics enjoying the drama. Luckily, the only role her mother seemed to want to play thus far was that of the ordaining bishop for Nimi's nuptials, nothing more. That left Elo free to pretend that the hating looks were about just how fantastic she looked in her maid of honor outfit, and in that case, she couldn't really blame people for the whispers and looks. Her supple dark brown skin popped alongside the waist-length blonde wig she had worn, while the tea-length pale peach silk dress she had on exposed her taut back and nipped-in slender waist, before sliding down her body to show off the rest of her curves. She swung her hips from side to side, dipping every now and then along with the rhythm. She grinned, remembering her mother's barely restrained scowl when she saw her standing by the bride while she said her vows. The judgmental sweep of her eyes over Elo's body also made it clear that her mother was not a fan of the look. It's a good thing I don't care what she thinks. Elo bent over to pick up a 1,000 naira note and was suddenly jerked forward by an over-enthusiastic dancer who had bumped against her behind. Her silver strappy heels bent at an angle, bending her right ankle, causing her to totter forward. She was already imagining her fall, the way her face would land against the floor, and how her legs would spread in the most inappropriate angle when she felt strong hands grab her by the waist and draw her up tight. "Blood of God," she exclaimed, heaving in relief as she leaned back against what felt like a chest made of pure muscle, glancing around to see if anyone caught her near public disgrace.
Hi readers, welcome to Something Bookish. My name is Amin, aka Lip Gloss Mafia, aka the Crazy Book Lady, aka it's your bookish bestie. On this podcast, I talk about all things books and reading, from book lists to reviews, musings, tips and tricks, and the occasional guest chat. So think of this space as a virtual lounge, but for bookish people who are very chill and cool and cultured, obviously. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the dark side. And if this is not your first time listening to the podcast, hey, how you doing? Readers, this is the 76th episode. Oh my God. It just seems like plenty, like 76. We're almost at triple numbers. When we reach 100 episodes, at this point, I feel like you should just let me know what to do, because my brain is going to be filled with so many ideas, and then what happens? All of a sudden, I can't accomplish anything anymore. So like, let's start preparing. Let's start planning. Are we going to be doing t-shirts? Are we doing a soiree? Are we going to the strip club? What is happening? Because like, by the time we get, I don't know maths, but like, would we be able to get to 100 this year? Oh my god. So now I'm recording live, and it's going to be hard for me to to calculate. I'm going to probably calculate this like after the episode has aired. But wouldn't it be amazing if we actually do 100 episodes in 2024? Oh my god. Oh my god, I'm going to do a photo shoot. Yes, I'm going to do a photo shoot. I'm going to be holding books and I'm going to be drinking wine. It would be so nice if I can do like a white t-shirt not a contest, but like, you know how in like high school American movies where they have a white t-shirt contest, I could do that, but like pouring champagne all over me, and then we have boobies. What do you think? I'm just throwing it out there. Anywho, I digress. Readers, this is the 76th episode. On this episode, I will be chatting with the author of one of my most memorable reads of 2023, The Bishop's Prodigal Daughter. Yeah, but before we get into it, a little housekeeping, shall we? First on the agenda, if you are following me on the socials, wait, if you're, no, that's not how it's supposed to go. If you are not following me on the socials, make sure you do, or you tell someone you know to follow me, okay? You can follow me on Lip Gloss Mafia, that's LipGlossMaffia. My mafia is double F, okay? It's not the one F. I had to make it different because, you know, that's how we roll. Or you can follow me at something bookish. That is something underscore underscore bookish. Or you can follow the book club, which is the Indulgent Bibliophile. Yeah. And I curate all of these accounts, at least until I get a grant to pay someone else to join me on the other side. If you're already following me, share the love, spread the awareness. By the way, I'm so close to 10K on my Lip Gloss Mafia account, which is amazing. I'm like 80 people short. It's shaping out to be a really good year, guys. Well, metrics. Not like I care about numbers. It's just when we eventually reach these numbers, it's nice to like celebrate it or just like put it out there, like, yay, we got to like 10K or we have like 100 episodes, you know, whatever. That was it. Just follow me on the socials. Tell someone to tell someone to tell someone, okay? Next up, subscribe to the newsletter. The link is in the show notes, or you can just Google something bookish newsletter. I haven't dropped a newsletter since like what, January? But I will be dropping one soon. Hopefully, I'm going to be dropping one in March. So look out for that. Please do follow me or do subscribe to the newsletter. And another thing you can do is if you love the content I create and you would like to support me, if you can, you can do that by clicking on the payment link in the show notes titled Buy Amin a Cup of Coffee. Alternatively, if you follow me on Instagram or Twitter, the link in my bio would lead you to that page. Now, this page only accepts payment in the Naira. So if you're outside Nigeria, all you have to do is convert how much you'd like to donate from your currency to the Naira. Thank you so much again for your unwavering support. For this episode, I was drinking a sweet red alone. The author wasn't drinking with me. So if you feel like I wandered off with my questions, that might be the reason. All right. Without further ado, let's talk books, shall we? Hi, Timendo. Welcome to the Something Bookish podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for coming to chat books with me. I feel like I should have done this in the last year because that's when I first discovered your book. But alas, village people have been against me.
What
But
kind of
thankfully,
village
I'm
people?
getting to it now.
All right. What happened?
So I like that section that you just read, and I feel like it's a very nice way for us to segue into the chat.
All right.
First of all, I have to say that I'm very grateful that your book exists, and the fact that it is out with a quote unquote traditional publisher. Because we don't have a lot of stories like this with traditional publishers on this end. So before I enter like the publishing journey and stuff, if you could describe this book without dropping spoilers, how would
Okay.
you do it?
Oh,
I know.
wow. Without dropping spoilers, I would say it's a
Prodigal, the it's a prodigal son retelling, but as a romance. That's how I see
Okay. Okay.
it. Yes.
That actually makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, because I was just talking about how grateful I am that your book is to the traditional publisher, can you just share with us, or see me saying us as if we're in front of a live audience, can you just share with me what your publishing journey was like? Were you courted, or did you have to query? How long did the book take from like idea to finished book? What was the whole experience like?
Oh
I
well.
want the whole gist.
There's no gist. It's actually very boring.
Oh my God.
It's so boring. I started writing this. It's been a while now. I'm sure if I check, I'm sure my Instagram still has the highlights of when I started writing, because there's this thing called NaNoWriMo, and I always
Oh,
used to
okay. The
try.
writing thing in
Yeah,
challenge in
every
November.
November, yes.
Okay.
And I always used to try. So one year I said, this is what I'm going to do, and I had the book and I was going to do it, and then I didn't do it. And then next year I was like, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it, I'm going to, and that took about 4 years. And I think the fourth year I was like, you know what? And then I also have like a group of friends. We write together. We're all supposed to write this series together. And we're very good at encouraging each other and talking about what we're going to do. And nobody's writing. So one year I was like, okay, I need to finish. And what actually happened with that desire to finish was that my day job is TV writing. And one of my very first head writer had said, I need to do like my own stuff. You need to shoot a short film. You need to do something. I was like, yes, you're very correct. But there's this book I've been working on. I need to finish it. I can't do anything else. It's the only thing on my mind. And she's like, oh, okay, got it. But then she
Okay.
also kind of gave me a deadline, like, then by next year, you know, we need to talk about the things we'll finish up. Because, like, lovely pressure. I love it so much. Not really. So I said, okay, I'm going to get an editor. And I got an editor, and you know, it's because I'm used to working with deadlines. When it's just me, I'm really unserious. I'm very what's the word? Is it undisciplined? I don't have discipline, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
But working when it's someone else, I have to send things. So if someone else is depending on me, I'm more likely to show up. So working with the editor, I'm like, I needed to send him chapters each week. He would give me feedback. We would do the thing, and then it finished. And I just honestly had not a lot of faith in myself or anything. I was like, at this point, it was just this albatross that I just needed to get rid of. So I just wanted to finish,
Oh.
just finish this book. And then I finished and I was like, okay, do I self-publish? I had considered self-publishing before. I had done the numbers, and my husband is one of those people like, oh, well and good, but are you going to make money back? I'm just like, thank you for ruining the room for me. So I was like, oh, well, okay, if I'm going to self-publish, then I just have to decide that I'm going to self-publish. So at the back of my mind, I just like, I'm just going to, it was just a case of do the steps so that anybody that asks you, you'll be like, hey, I've done it. It's not my fault that nobody got it.
The
So
point
that
is,
had
it's done.
been, you know, so that had been at the back of my mind. And then I had finished around the time all the publishers, the top three, top four publishers in Nigeria do their call for submission. So that January to April period when everybody's
Yeah.
saying, you know, submit. So I submitted to three or four, all four. And
Okay.
it was just a case of, it's really just fulfill all righteousness. I've sent it out. And then I got very nice rejection letters from Narrative and Masube. You know, I was like, oh, yes, I know.
Masube, no way.
Yes, so this is the funny part. So I guess it's the part that is not boring. You know, I was just like, oh well, you know, so nice. Like they were really nice rejection letters. When people say, you know, they print out their rejection letters and put it on their wall, I'm like, these are rejection letters to print and put on my wall. So I had to like, okay, so I was talking to my friend who's a graphic designer, and we're designing a cover, and I was talking to my friend who's a printer and just doing all my numbers and saving my money to self-publish. And then Otuke, I didn't know it was him at the time. I get a message on my phone because you submit with your details, your contact details, and everything. I
Yeah.
get a message on WhatsApp and it's like, is this Temendo Agawa? And I'm like, sure, yes. He's like, you got a rejection letter. Please ignore it. We love your book. I'm just like, okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, fine. Yes, that's all right. Awesome. He's like, okay, we'll reach out to you soon. I'm like, okay, then. And so that's really.
At the time, did you like take them seriously, or he was like, that's people's business?
Oh, no, please. I took it seriously. What? I think I got this message on a Friday night. Sunday morning, I was in church saying, brethren, let me tell you what has happened to me. I took it seriously. And I think he just, anyway, let's just, yeah. So then, I got the emails and we started talking contracts. And he said, okay, as usual, because I used to be an editor, but then I realized I'm very, again, impatient. So we'll get into that. But yeah, I used to be an editor. So I understand how the process goes, where you can't just submit a book and they'll be like, oh, it's the best thing since sliced bread. Somebody else still has to look through it and do the thing. So he said, oh, they would give me an editor, they would work with me. And it was also painless and so great, every step of the way, right? And then, even picking the covers, even the title, because the title was something else. And I'm bad with titles. No, the title was bad. It was bad. It was something, what was it? It was Coming Back Home or something. It was like, that's a terrible title. I was like, yes, I know. I know. He said, you have to come up with another title. I'm like, sure. And then, myself and the editor he assigned to me, we were like, okay, these are the ideas. And then we sent this. And she's like, I love it. I was like, all right, then, great. Moving on. And then, even the covers, Massive has like the best covers. I don't know.
They do, they
And
really do.
I don't know what they're drinking that makes them realize that pretty covers help, right? So they send me a couple of covers. You want this one or this one? And I picked the other one. He was just like, no, we're taking this one. Like, see, I don't really have an opinion on
They
many
have
things.
stopped asking me at this point.
Yes. Whatever you tell me to do, I will mostly do it. So unless, there are very few hills I will die on. There were certain changes that I won't even call them changes. There were suggestions that they gave, and I was like, okay, yeah, that works. There are suggestions he gave. I was like, ooh, it means that something I wrote wasn't clear. And then I would explain and say, okay, then I would be given an opportunity to like write that in to make it clearer. Because
So
something you,
it was like
yeah.
suggestions. Did you get like a lot of chopping
No,
done?
no, no, no,
Oh, okay. So it
no.
was mostly like rewriting or adjusting
Some
stuff.
rewriting, adding some things, just like there are a couple of chapters that are, on this on their recommendation, like, this is this point to this point is a big jump. How about a chapter that kind of makes things clearer? I'm just like, great idea. Let's do that. Yeah, it was really great. They're just awesome people to work with. So So
Oh,
that's
that's
it.
cool.
It's a very
I'm glad
short.
you had a sexy publishing journey. This is actually like, of all the authors I've interviewed, yours is like, it's almost straight, it's very straight. Okay, let me not say completely straight to the point because we were considering self-publishing at the time. But like when it picks up, it like picks up. So when you eventually held the book in your hand, it's your first baby. How did he feel?
It didn't feel real. It still doesn't. It's still very
Oh.
weird. I think they sent a package before it was out in bookstores. Anyway, I sent a package to my house. My kids were with me, and they were more excited than me. I was just looking. I was just like, interesting. The book here. My kids were like, oh, take a picture, send it to daddy. Oh my God! Hey, I'm like, yeah. It was just like, all right, that's fine. I have a niece who wants to write as well, and she was like, she got excited about it. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah,
Oh my
that's
goodness,
cool.
that's so cool.
So even
Oh.
now, it's still not real. I mean, when I saw your review, I was like, hey, God, and at this one, people are just liking the book. I was like, hey, Father in heaven, what is this?
No, see, that's the thing. I've been me personally when I'm looking for books that are published in Nigeria, yeah. I do before I had a bias against like self-published books because my editor I used to awaken for some reason. Because first I just felt like they might not have had the opportunity to have an editor take like a magnifying glass to the work. So like my own just automatically comes on. So when I'm reading, I'm not, it almost feels like work for me. You get
Yes,
like, and
yes.
I'm always like, this is a good story, but my God, like so
Yeah.
much could have been done to like just make this so seamless. And it's only just one author that I never have issues. Well, we already know her at this work since I'm always making noise. But like, aside that, I'm always now I'm more open to reading it because I guess I've spoken to a lot of writers and I understand the struggle. So sometimes if I didn't enjoy it completely, instead of posting it, I just like send them my complete
Your
feedback and
thoughts.
just be like, yo. So when I found your book, I'd been telling Otuke, hello, sir. It's cool that you're always getting Nigerian rights, Nigerian rights. That's all well and fine. But I'm looking for local stories also. Like, what's the point if you are here and we're not getting voices from home? So when I got your book, the first chapter, I was like, ah, I'm going to enjoy this book. God, thank you. Father Lord. So I read it in, let me not say one sitting, because adulting will not allow. I don't read books in one sitting anymore. Oh God, those days when I was young, literally I could say I read it in one sitting, but now I have to say two or three sittings. Do you get? But like the amount of time put together could have been one sitting. And I was overjoyed when I finished reading your book that I had to just keep telling people about it, that have you read this book? Do you know about this book? In fact, I don't even think I've even started work on this book. Maybe after the podcast, I'll now start recarrying it on my head again. Last
Oh,
year, I was
thank
giving some
you.
people some time because, you know, I don't want to drop spoilers. But now, this year, it's me and this book. Now, the thing I enjoyed a lot was the world building. There's an author's note in the book where you explained why you were doing, why it's a fictional world, because thankfully this book is not set in Lagos, since all the writers in Nigeria want to set books in Lagos. This one is not set in Lagos, but it's a fictional world set outside Lagos. How did you plan for that, and like what inspired that? Just yes, there's author's notes in the book, but just for the people who are listening now, for those who have not yet bought a copy, to ginger them to get a copy.
What inspired that? I'm trying to find the simplest way to say it, but I guess I'll just do the long story.
Feel
So,
free.
my dad, he passed away about 15 years ago. My dad was a tribal activist for the Niger Delta, for South-South people. Just resource control, all the things that everybody knows us for. That's it. But as someone who grew up in his household and to see how passionate he was about it and to see the poverty of the region, knowing the oil wealth that was coming out of it, it's something that's in my heart. But I am not interested in being an activist like him because it does take a toll on the family. And I just didn't want to live that life anymore. But it's not something that I can pretend doesn't exist. And this is what I do. I write, my words are my tools to navigate life. So that was the main thing that inspired why I write stories of my people. Most of the time, I always try to incorporate Ijaw characters or Niger Delta characters just to remember that we exist, we are here, we are part of the story. So that was the first reason. Then the second reason was that my favorite genres to read are romance and fantasy. And I still want to write fantasy, but fantasy's world building is work.
Is work actually?
Walk.
It's a lot of
It
work.
is so much work. I mean, even I won't call them textbooks, but the resources for writers. I have this book by Jeff Vandermeer called Wonder Book, and it's not supposed to be, it's for world building. And just the first 5 pages of like instructions alone of, oh yeah, you need to do this, I need to do this, and magic system and religion and this. I was like,
Oh
sir,
dear.
I just want to
Wow.
write a story. What is all this? So I was like, okay, if I made it contemporary, so it's a little sci-fi kind, not, I won't say sci-fi, it's not science fiction, before sci-fi people come for me, but it's the same principle basically of science fiction writers, where you take an existing thing and you extrapolate. So I said, okay, if we pretend that when oil was discovered, it was used responsibly for the region, yes, the country will get, because we're a federation country, we'll get it. But if the
Yeah.
resources had been used responsibly, what would it have looked like? And that's really, so it's a lot of wishful thinking, it's wish fulfillment. And then also because of the work my dad did and being around a lot of people, you realize that people don't have hope. And they don't have hope because they cannot imagine what it would look
Yeah,
like.
they can't
Why?
see it.
Yeah. So anytime money comes into people's hands, whatever it is, amnesty, whatever it is, it's spent on just immediate gratification. Somebody buys a car, somebody, you know, nothing. It's like we don't know what to do to build our region. So even when we get these monies from the federal government, it just goes into something ridiculous and then it's finished. And then next year we're creating it again. So this was me trying to say, okay, this is what it could look like. This is my vision. This is the things I would like. It's why places like Venice interest me. It's like it's on my travel bucket list. So it just, these people are on water too. They are on water too. We can do something like this, can't we?
We
Right?
can't. I don't.
So yeah.
I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful. I hope they can see it. I hope our generation can see it. I hope the generation after has not completely lost faith and they can still see it. And that's the beauty of literature, yeah? Someone will read this now and it might ginger someone. And it might not even be a direct change maker, yeah. It could be like the girlfriend or the mother of a change maker. But one way or the other, it's going to touch someone. And that's what I like about this one. So for me, you went science fiction, but for me it was more like dystopian, but the good kind. Yeah. That's what this book was for me. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think you did a great job of the world building because, okay, we have to, because someone might pick up this book eventually and then they might be like, oh, but I mean, I thought you said you didn't used to read Christian fiction because it does toe the line. And I've had to give that disclaimer when I'm recommending this book to someone that this is not Christian fiction. It is set in the church world. And there's a difference. So I'm always doing that. What? Why was it this particular industry? That's what I'm going
An
to call it.
industry.
It's really an industry. So why this particular industry? Is it something that is like peculiar to the region or you were
Oh,
just
no.
inspired elsewhere?
Because of my age, I can't call myself a church girl anymore. I'm now a church auntie. And this is where I live. So I'm Niger Delta, but I'm also in church. I'm a troublesome leader in church. And does that explain? You said okay, as if you know, like I've pictured it, I know what a sister.
No, like, cause you is it's very, I mean, I'm Catholic. Well, not like I'm Catholic, but my mom is Catholic, so I was brought up Catholic. So, but I was still able to recognize like Christian culture, if I can put it that way,
No,
yeah.
that I think that's a
And like
perfect sense.
it was very sometimes I feel like when I'm saying something is realistic to an author, I'm like, duh, duh, they kind of did their homework. Yeah, it's realistic. But like, you know what I mean? It was
Yeah.
very relatable. I could see these characters,
It was
even though
familiar.
I'm God won. Ah, see, that's why you're the author here. Yes, they were very familiar. So I was just wondering, like, what would have gingered that particular setting? Because I mean, like, romance, there's plenty. I mean, like, any other
There are so many
things that have
subgenres
carried it,
here.
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm in church. I read a lot of romance. I think it's just like the recent, when I say recent, but like the recent dark romance that I'm just like, people of God, no, you have to be lying somewhere. Right? But I read a lot of everything. And I always, there's sometimes you read a book and you'd be like, I wonder what this person's decision would, well, English. I wonder what this person's decision would have been if she were in a different setting, if she were a different kind of person, if she had been raised in church. And so this was kind of my answer to that. Because for me, for instance, I've been married 14, is it 14 this year? It's 14
Baby.
years.
Ooh. Well done, well done.
We thank the Lord. And I look at some of the decisions that, we made getting married, some of the things, even now being married, and a lot of it is influenced by my faith and my church community and having all that support. And I'm just like, okay, better for better or worse, because some of what is in the book, and some people might not like it, is also that the church is not without flaws, which is difficult for a lot of Christians to say. So it's a case of just in this environment, for better or worse, this is the community that she has around her. So it's kind of like a small town romance, but the small town is a church, kind of. Yeah. So that's really, it was just a creative experiment.
I think it worked well. It was properly executed. I was very in it. Even me, I was like, I won't mind going to go and cause a little trouble in this world now. So your characters are very memorable. I really liked Elo.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like people like her get shut down in real life.
Yeah.
A character like her, I don't know how far she would go in real life, but it was nice to see her arc, her development. I just liked it a lot. And normally romance, we always see like the male lead, female lead. Personally, I prefer when like I'm having like different POVs. This one
Yeah.
doesn't have that,
No.
but I still enjoyed it. But I have to say my own bit that I would
Okay.
not have minded getting our male lead's
That's why his
POV.
head.
Yeah, but I mean the book is the bishop's pretty girl daughter, but still. Also, I feel like okay, it's already in, it's not a spoiler
Right.
because it's at the back of the book, synopsis. I
Why?
love what you did with the bishop's gender.
Yeah.
There are some people who went into this blind, and I saw them talking about it on Twitter,
Yeah.
and I saw how surprised they were when they found out that the bishop is not a man. And it's just so weird, yeah, that like someone reads this book and immediately their mind just goes to the bishop would have definitely been a man, because like I mean bishop. So when I started reading it, because I also went into it blind, the only thing when I saw the name of the author, I saw the title of the book, I was like, oh my God. I don't even need to read the back. I'm gonna start. So when I started reading it, and I was like, oh, the bishop is a what? Oh my God. I mean, it's messy, and like mother-daughter relationships. I'm a fan of complicated mother-daughter relationships. But I was like, oh, the bishop is a woman. Yay. I don't know if I should still be yaying. I mean, but still, it was like, that was really cool. And the mother is so dramatic. Because I could picture her like there's this thing that people do on TikTok. My grandma dresses to church better than yours, and there's like everybody's grandma is trying to outdo the other person's grandma. And I pictured her in one of those
Those
outfits.
outfits, yeah.
Yeah, because like she just sounded like she's going to be very extravagant,
Yeah.
very, very over the top. I could picture her outfits and the scowl on her face, like watching Elo dance, like ah. To kill this child.
You are disgracing me.
The characters are just so memorable. Like I liked her sister, the church elders. My goodness, things were happening in this book, and it's such a small book. Yeah, very easy to read. Now, the way you ended this book, I've got to say, I want to believe that you are working on the remaining books, because the way you ended this book, I don't know if anybody else has told you, but it's giving series. You
That's
know,
the plan.
ah, okay,
That's the
all right,
plan.
okay. I'm
And
glad because like it's there. Like
yeah.
I can see the different people's story that I want to continue.
Oh,
I'm
I'm
ready
curious.
to
Who
continue.
whose stories are you
I
interested?
would like to start with her sister
Yeah.
first, because like such a, I don't want to call her, but she's giving grumpy, and I'm hoping she's going to be the sunshine. So like she has grumpy vibes. Since she has had to, oh God, I don't want to drop any spoilers, but like she's giving grumpy vibes. And then Elo's bestie, wow, what a story in there! Because I don't want to link the relationship she has to another character in the book, because that might give spoilers. But I want people to come to their own conclusion. But I am excited about Elo. Elio's bestie and her sister getting their own stories, and
Stories, yeah.
I don't want to link some other people, but right now, since there's an idea for a series in the future,
Yeah.
which character
Next.
is like an ear monster right now
The
for
next
you?
character would be Elio's sister, Xena.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
That's
I
fair.
don't know if this is a spoiler to say, I don't think she's getting that sunshine. But
Huh.
yeah.
Oh, okay, wait, wait, wait,
Yeah.
wait. Let me see if I can get an exclusive. Is the person she's going to be with already in the book, or are we going to be introduced to a new male lead?
He's already in the book.
Ah, I think I can guess.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not even mad. I'm not
Yeah.
mad. I think I can guess, and I'm not mad at all.
All
I don't
right.
mind it. Yeah. But wow, it's going to be dramatic, though. That's going to
I
be
mean, I
dramatic.
hope so. I just we finished the first no we I finished the first draft with my editor now, and I sent it to him with a sad, it's a mess. I'm pretty sure I'm rewriting this thing, and he's like, yeah, we'll see this thing come down. I'm like, all right, fine, switch you.
Okay. Okay.
So I don't know. I again, I've been doing TV for most of the time, so I came back to this and I was like, oh my God, bro, this is so hard. To tell people where they are standing now, who is in the room and what the room looks like and all these things. When I write for the day job, I just write the words and say they enter the room and producer can decide what the room looks like. I don't care, you know. So that was difficult. So I think that slowed me down a lot. Not even like speed wise, just story wise, because I kept worrying about all of that. So yeah. But definitely a series. Xeno is next. Turi should be book three. For that one, I will probably be co-writing it with a friend, because I think I mentioned, and I think it's at the back of the book, where we're supposed to be a group writing it, and we're not being serious. I called them out. But so the person in charge of Turi's story says we will. Oh, let me hold this my mic. It says we will probably write it together. I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Oh, that's cool.
It might make life easier, or we might hate each other when we're done. Who knows?
I mean, whatever happens, it's going to be for a good
What,
story at the end of the day.
you know, for the work.
Yeah. Okay. So you've mentioned your day job, which is a screenwriter. Yes.
Yeah.
So now that you have done prose, what format do you think you prefer to tell stories in? Parents always have a favorite child. You can't lie.
I feel like
It's
a
not equal.
traitor when I say TV, especially
Of
because this
course.
last one was so hard. But it's apples and oranges, really, because with TV, for instance, there are some you have they both have restrictions. I'm lucky enough in my career, I've gone far enough in my career where I can work with producers who have big budgets. So there are certain things I can write that can happen. But then when you're starting out, you better give everybody parlor, kitchen, and you know, backyard, you know. And there are certain restrictions you have. But as a prose writer, the sky's the limit. You can write whatever you want. So even coming off of this book that I have just finished, the first draft that I've just written, I had to keep reminding myself that you don't have restrictions. You can, you know, you can go, further, bigger, whatever you want to do, you can do it. So TV, and I can't even say TV is faster, because it takes such a not a long time. It's different kinds of storytelling. Let me put it that way. TV, you do a lot of, if you do it right, TV film, you do a lot of deep work that doesn't show up on screen, or it shows up for like 2 minutes, right? And you could have spent 6 months figuring out this character, and it's just for one throwaway line that the audience may or may not get. I mean, the show we have on the air now, we created a character, or we designed, let's say, an arc for something to happen. And just because of actor chemistry, the audience's takeaway is like the opposite of what we wanted. I'm just like, well, okay then. Moving on. So it's, and I guess maybe that happens with books as well, where you write something and the intention doesn't come through, but it's largely on you with prose. With filmmaking in general, it's such collaborative work that everyone has a voice in it, and what you start out with is not always what you end with. It's also why I guess I'm a little more forgiving of adaptations, because it's really difficult to move from, paper to the screen and keep things the same. The best you can hope for is the same tone, the same mood. And sometimes if the story stays exactly the same, you might not enjoy watching it. But yeah. So preference, TV seems easier, but it seems easier, but prose
Okay, seems.
is more prose is more, you have more creative license with prose. It's more creatively liberating.
Oh, okay. Okay. With the adaptations, you jumped into one of the questions I was going to ask, but before I get there, what is it like working as a screenwriter in Nigeria?
Well,
Okay.
no, I'm trying to find the way, because my answer is not going to be a one size fits all. We have bubbles. We have different bubbles. We have the I, for instance, I have been in the African magic bubble for a while. There are people who are in the Iroko bubble. There are people who are straight to cinema bubble. There are people who are in the YouTube bubble. Sometimes there's some cross-pollination, sometimes there's overlap. But generally there are different bubbles. So my experience is going to be largely different from most of the other bubbles. So for me, how's it been? It's been pretty good. It's been pretty good. I came into this because writing, I mean, my dad specifically told me you can't make a career out of writing. So, and I fought that fight for a very long time. I have a degree in banking. I worked 3 years in stockbroking. Is it 3 or 2? 2 or 3, I can't remember. In stockbroking before I quit. And my entire family, extended family, everybody called me to tell me I was very foolish,
Oh my God. Wow.
Oh, it
A
was
full-on
fun.
bankrupt.
See,
Okay.
unlike, no, they didn't see me, because I will not submit myself to those kinds of meetings. But you get the phone calls and you're like, yeah, well, I'm just like, got it, thank.
You should have you written up? You should write them into something.
No, I mean, it came from a place of
Yeah, from a good place still.
concern, right? So even when, because what happened was I quit, I started in magazine, so I quit to do my own magazine. So even when I did that, it's the same family members that gave me money after the insult. So
Oh.
so I'm not, I can't be mad at them, and they are quite proud. When the book came out, because everybody has family groups, so I have a group with my cousins, and one of them was just like, "T-Man, this book is out. Everybody buy. Send your money to me, and
Oh,
I will
that's
get
so
it, and I
cool.
deliver it. If you want it in Port Harcourt, I'll send it to Port Harcourt. Buy more than one copy." So my family has been really, really great.
Oh.
Yeah,
Okay, I
so
apologize to our family members
I can't be
for
angry
trying to put them into a book.
anybody. Oh no, they'll show up, definitely. I mean, there's a character there who is kind of like my maiden name, for instance. It's the character has the original name. How would I put it? What was the word? Anglicized version of my maiden name is what my family bears now. And I put the
Oh,
original
okay.
Isoko name there. So for people who know, I have a niece, which was really weird because I remember the day she was born. And then all of a sudden she's tagging me on Instagram. "I'm reading your book." I'm just like, good grief. I'm
A
old.
full-on adult.
I'm telling you. Right? And she's like laughing about the name and things. So they
Oh.
will show up. I will put things. My village is there. There are things that I want to remember, people. My aunts, my dad's sisters, I think two died last year. I'm going to put their names in
Oh,
things
I'm
because
so
they have
sorry.
beautiful, thank you. They have beautiful names, beautiful Ijaw names, and I don't want them to be forgotten. So Definitely, they are showing up. It's how they show up. If I make someone a bad guy now, and then we meet, I'm just like, what are you trying to say? Say it to my face with your chest. Like, no. But people are, yeah. I don't remember what
Okay.
the question was that we got to this.
I think the question was, how is it being a screenwriter in
Screenwriter,
Nigeria?
thank you.
Aha.
So, started with magazines, did some prose writing, didn't finish anything, just short stories here and there. And my husband went straight to TV. So he was the one who actually said, submit something. I was like, sure. And I submitted, and nobody, they don't even reject you, they just don't call you. Then I
Oh.
submitted, yeah, I know. And then I submitted again, and they liked it. And so I've been in that since then, working in the African magic bubble. And it's good. You work, you learn, you keep moving, you meet people, you learn. It's,
Oh,
if
that's
there's
cool.
anything, it's just, and this is a new lesson for me, which in my old age, but here we are, is that you need to be, I won't say ambitious, but you need to have a lot of initiative. You need to have a lot of self-direction.
Okay.
Something with people like me who were not allowed to write professionally. By allowed, I mean, family forbid it. So, writing professionally is the dream. Getting into this work, it's very easy to be stuck in one place because you are so grateful that you are writing.
Yeah.
And not treat it as a career and say, okay, what is the plan? What's the next move? What do I need to work on? And all of that. So I would say I've been very lucky in that people have taken an interest in my work and my career and saying, okay, this is what you need to do, this is where you need to go. I'm going to recommend you for this work, for this job. This is what you need to do about it. But being a screenwriter in Nigeria is I think it's pretty great. I think the industry is in a place where it's growing, it's moving quickly. We've gained a lot of interest in the past few years, and it's up to us to use it well and not to do the short-term Nigerian thing or just take money and run, but to build it in a way that works for everyone. And I think we really could learn from publishers, because publishing is what do you call it? It's a labor of love.
Yes,
Put such time
unfortunately.
and money,
Yeah.
and but they are doing it for the industry, because I mean, if all power to them or more power to them, Farafina hadn't just said, you know what, we're here and we're doing this all these years ago. Oh, sorry. If they hadn't done that, then all these other publishers couldn't have come up to say, oh yeah, we're going to give this a shot, we're going to try this side, we're going to do this angle and all of that. So it's something that film and filmmaking TV industry is building on. So yeah, it's great. It's pretty good.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Well, me, I feel like I need to give more grace. Maybe it's because I'm too close to the source.
Okay.
Anytime I'm watching Nigerian movies, I don't know. I just it's hard for me to get into it. Maybe because when I'm watching TV, I want more of an escape, which is why I watch like non-Nigerian movies most of the time. Like I'm either watching Turkish TV or Korean dramas or the Spanish shows. When I come back, I'm always like, I don't know, man. I don't know. So I'm always waiting for like someone to give me a recommendation and then I can hold them to that recommendation because I'll be like, well, you kind of know what I like. If I
What
don't
kind
like
of genres? What kind of genres do you like watching?
I like all the genres. I just need stuff to tie up and I don't want to be like using a critical eye to watch stuff. That's and I want a full escape. I don't want to be wondering why this person is shouting when they should not be shouting. And I know sometimes it's not even just like because I wasn't in TV, but I was in TV production, which was mostly like entertainment TV. So I can't like even claim to even know what's happening on like fiction or that part of TV. So I can understand things that could go wrong, or like people who have mouths on sets, that kind of thing. It's just I need to escape, like lose me in the story that is being told. Like little things like when someone is hit by a car, for instance, like the fact that You have people crowding the person and shaking the person. I'm already upset because I'm like, okay, how are we going to get this person is going to die? Someone is going to rob this person. Can we call ambulance? Like, even if we know that in real life ambulance will not come, at least maybe in the film, like, let me escape into a world that I think that's why I really liked your book so much, because I was able to escape. I
Oh.
didn't have to think about, but things are happening in the Niger Delta. I didn't have to think about that. Like,
Yeah.
I could just live in this bubble and enjoy the story.
I
Do you
mean,
get? So
I do
I always
understand. Yeah.
so yeah, that's what I'm always like. I just live in Nigeria
I don't
and
know if we
enjoy
are
the vibe.
there yet. I don't know if we're there
Okay.
yet. Even, I mean, even with books, it's one of the reasons why,
Yeah, even the books.
African books, Nigerian books are really difficult for me to read. So I understand what you mean. With film, it is a good point. It's just, I don't think anyone, let me not say anyone, I don't know everybody in the industry. In fact, I know very few people. But it is something that is being asked of us, especially as we face global audiences. And it's difficult to put your, and I hate this word so much, but it's a shortcut word, your trauma on people and expect them to understand and relate and grasp it, right? People just want a story. So it's something that I think we are learning as an industry how to tell this story. But something that is also happening, at least with me, is that sometimes you have to bleed it out to get to the good stuff.
That's fair. A little dark, but okay, I get
It is dark.
it.
But yeah, I think that's really where we are. And again, this might be just what's the word? My age might be a factor. I remember I don't know what I was talking to my daughter about, and I said, ask your teacher where she was when Abacha died. And she asked her teacher. The teacher was like, I was 5. I was just like, wow, older than my child's teachers, right? So there's also a whole generation of people who are carrying around all these things, and hopefully the next generation. Although I don't know about that because NSAS has happened now, so new trauma for you
Yeah, new trauma, oh, new trauma,
guys,
gosh.
right? But I
One
hope
thing
I
Nigeria will
really hope.
do.
I really hope there's a generation. I mean, there's this thing that was on Instagram that was trending. I ignored it at first, and I finally watched it. It was a reel where it said an African, you are having a good time or something, an African mother for no reason. I was like, yes, that's really who we have become now. Because we'll get the kids pizza and they'll be eating it, and then my husband and I will be like, ah, look at you eating pizza, 9 years old. When we're 9, what were we eating? I don't even know if I knew there was pizza. And even as we say, some of it is like what is there, but it's also like pride and a bit of joy where maybe we'll get past this. Maybe we'll have a generation where the worst thing they worry about is, I don't even want to say NEPA, but fine, NEPA, right?
And technically, like, this NEPA issue has been there since the beginning. Like, is there even really a time Nigeria has really boasted of like good elections?
I
Honestly,
don't even know.
I can't remember when. Oh well, that one aside, because that one is a long story. That one you should even prepare a TED Talk, left to me.
But I think, yeah, I mean, it's you have to really search. But I think there are some shows. There are some shows. Or maybe you have to, watch it with the way you switched off your editor eye, because that also happens to me
It's
sometimes where
hard. It's
I watch
so
some things and I just
hard.
be like, well, but I was like, it doesn't very well, but everything else I loved. And then there are some actors that I just love seeing. Who do I love seeing? I can't remember right now, but there are some actors I just love seeing.
Okay, let me see if this question will make you
Okay.
remember.
Oh dear.
Since you are a screenwriter and now an author, I was going to ask you about like which adaptations you've seen that you really enjoyed and you feel like justice was done-ish.
Go on.
Either
Is that
here or
it?
abroad.
Well,
Because I feel like the fact that you're in both like spaces,
Yeah.
you kind of have to consume stuff.
So here's the problem.
Okay.
God. I just pray future employers, this
Oh
should not
my God.
reflect poorly on me.
Don't mind it. This podcast
I
is only
like
like
books
this.
more.
Ah.
I like books more. So again, as you get older in the work, as my career grows and people you go for meetings that you could not go to before. And you
Yeah.
get to be with the decision makers and they're like, and everybody's talking about, like in this show and in that show. And I'm just like, sure. Yeah. And I need to listen, must
Right.
watch this show. So I haven't watched a lot of things. So that's number one.
Okay.
But as I say that now, easily what comes to mind would be Bridgerton. Yeah. I read the
They did do
books.
something different.
Yeah.
They did a lot of things differently.
They changed a lot. They
Yeah,
changed a
but
lot.
it's so
But it
enjoyable.
worked. Because I remember I read the books. I read the books not when they came out, but the books are old and I read them ages ago. And I
Yeah,
love them so much.
books are
They are those
good.
books you read every year. Like, oh, I'm in a slump. What do I do? Hey, Bridgerton. And or you just decide the favorite sibling. My favorite sibling, Colin. And I would read it again and again. And then I remember when they first announced, like they put out what's his name, Reggie's picture,
Yeah.
and there was all this drama on Bookstagram, and people were upset, and people were upset, and people were upset, and I was just like, all right, this should be entertaining, this should be interesting, and then the show came out, and it didn't matter, right? Everyone's like, you know what? We don't even care if they like. They should be yellow, but doing what you're doing, so let's go with it, right? And so season one was there, and season one was awesome. And then season two came out, and at least for me, from a screenwriter's point of view, I felt like they took some notes from the
Yeah.
first season, where it was a case of, okay, you're going to change the race, but you can't just like put a black person there and just be like it's all well and good. So they added a bit more of the culture in season two with the Indian women with the ceremony and all, just like it's more than just the skin color, it's also just
Yeah.
whole identity. So that was interesting to see. So as an adaptation, in fact, like you said, they changed so much. Season two, Anthony and Kate were also like, they were my second favorite couple. I just loved their enmity in the books. And then in the show, and if you haven't seen it, I apologize. I'm really sorry, but you still
Okay,
love
yeah,
it.
to the person listening.
Yeah. But in the show, they get all the way to like the altar when he's about to marry the sister. I'm just like, so the first time I watched it, it was just me saying, no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. What are you doing? That didn't happen. Oh my God. And I was so upset. But also, you couldn't deny that the two actors were just chemistrying all over the screen,
Yeah, they
right?
really put their whole lives into those roles.
See, there was someone that said this man was in heat throughout the show.
Yeah.
They did not lie. And then I watched it again, and you just watch it for what it is, right? The TV show. It's like they did a good job. So like Bridgerton is my, I want to say favorite, but yeah, let's
So
be
Bridgerton
Bridgerton.
at the
Yeah.
moment. And anything on the home front?
Nigerian. I haven't read Swallow. Let me just say it now. I haven't read Swallow or watched Swallow. I
Okay.
remember when everybody was upset about Swallow. I was just like, ah. But to be fair, I read Everything Good Will Come,
Okay.
and I was so upset. I
Oof.
was so upset. It made me, that's like, I react really strongly to Nigerian stories. I think I over-identify. So,
I
yeah.
understand.
So I read it and I was just upset. I was upset. And someone borrowed the book and I told her, keep it. I don't even want to. So by the time people were just like, oh, Swallow, I was like, who wrote it, Sefiat? I was like, no. I found equilibrium. I'm happy. I don't even want to know. So I can't say about that. Which other adaptation has come out Nigerian recently?
Let's see. They did do, I think they did Kungi and the Four Horsemen.
I haven't
Did they
seen
do
that. I
that?
actually want to see that because
Okay.
I'm a fan of Wole Soyinka's. So
Okay.
I'm interested. What did you think of it? Did you see it?
Not yet. I don't I think I enjoyed the play so much, and
You are
I am
free to.
just, I strongly believe that that play is not meant for TV. And I
Yeah.
feel like if I watch it and they fuck up, I'm going to be like, I knew it. Now you've just wasted my time. And I feel like if I enjoy it, I'll be like, wow, I really don't trust my opinions anymore. So I just want I just want to stay where I am now, not watching it. But
Oh.
I tend to stay away from adaptations most times. I don't know why. It just it's not that I'm going to be okay, let me not lie. I will be nitpicking because I mean
No,
if
yeah.
20,000 people have read a book, it's going to have 20,000 interpretations if
Opinions,
they were
yeah.
all directors. So like I mean the book is just based on the person who read it that is directing the movie at the time. So it's just
No, I feel you.
I guess I pick and choose. Like I need to be like extra curious that
What did they do?
that I did not adequately imagine this book well. I want to
Oh.
see what you were able to do with your interpretation. Does that make sense?
I do. I do.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
think it's easier for me, again, maybe because of the job. Because you can write something and it gets on screen and it's interpreted differently by the actor, by the director, by the producer. And if you want to live long and give yourself peace of mind, you can't be upset about it all the time. Like once in a while, it will be the opposite of what you want. Even then, you can't even be upset because it's done, it's on screen. It's like,
it's already done.
yeah, it's done. Right? At best, you'd be like, let me give an example. Yeah, you know, I won't mention the show, but let me give an example. On a show I was working on, I was editing the script, I was a script editor, and I wrote it. I don't even remember. But it was like a group of people, and they were heckling someone, and the person had what Nigerians call public address system, right? You know that thing, or the. Yeah. But I was writing and the script was due and I needed to be quick. And the only thing that came to mind was what Americans call it, which is bullhorn. So I wrote bullhorn. And my husband was one of the directors and he called me the next day and he said, thank you. Not the next day, but whenever the script was on set. And he said, thank you so much for wasting my time today. I'm just like, what are you talking about? And I said, he's on set, he's waiting to shoot. And props people say they have to go to Bagada. And he's just like, what are you going to Bagada for? What is in this script that requires you to go to Bagada? They only need to go to that the cattle market or whatever and get the horn of a
Oh
bull.
my
And he's just
God,
like,
screaming.
and I was like, what? Right? And this is an extreme example because. You know, just an extreme example, but just an example of how you can write one thing and you see something else and just be like, but how now? How? You know, again, extreme example. It was caught. It wasn't done. So after a while, if you get enough work, you get used to it and you learn to work around. So, for instance, in that example, in that scenario. I could get angry. I could ask, where did the misunderstanding happen? And it's just a cultural difference. This is not what most people here call it. It's me that I've been reading all these American books and it came to my mind like that. So you also have to learn to just communicate. It's really about communication. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. So when I see adaptations and person change, I'm always wondering, what was the person going for? What was the person trying to communicate? Did he? You know, so is it intention and execution? What was the intention? And did he execute his intention? Was it the intention that was the problem or was it the execution? And that's how I always look at it. So for instance, two things, because I have to watch a lot of middle grade things because of my kids. So School for Good and Evil, I watched it first. And it was so much fun. It was colorful and dramatic and crazy and foolish. I loved it. And my daughter and I enjoyed it, and she enjoyed it so much that the next day we went to get the books, and she starts reading the books, and every 5 pages she would run in. I'm just like, oh my God, they changed everything. The book is so much better. What?
Oh, that's
You
so
know?
cool.
I'm just like, okay, fine. But we saw the movie first, and we could appreciate it. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, yeah, she understood why that there are some things in the books that, and it was a lesson for me. There are some things in the books that they could not have done. Right, even with the visual effects budgets and all of that, they just couldn't have done it. right? And then there's some, they were just choices. So they choose not to, right? So that was one. Then Howl's Moving Castle, which is even a cartoon, right? So you would think that it shouldn't be a problem. I love Howl's Moving Castle. I've watched it so many years. I finally read the book this year. And I was just telling my daughter, like, see, I can't even tell you what they changed. Read it first. And then she reads that she's just like, the whole thing. So it's like the book has like five story threads, and it took just one thread and made the whole thing. I'm just like, but why? Why? I'm telling you. So, it's a case of really what was the person going for? And often the people who make adaptations, they probably loved the book themselves, and there was something in particular they loved about it and they went for it. Do you read horror? Not really.
I mean, it's not like one of my top 10 genres, but I would read a horror book if it had supernatural elements in it. When
Did
it's
you
too
ever read?
real, I can't handle it. I can't handle human beings. Like, I need
Well,
a fantastical element so
fair.
that I'm not scared, because my imagination is kind of hyper. Like, it's so hyper that even if I take Puritan, I start seeing things. So like, I can't afford
To be
something
seeing
that's real
things.
to be like, no. I don't even read horror in the nighttime. I read it daytime.
Yes, that one I agree. Did you ever read The Haunting of Hill House? I think it was Shirley Jackson.
Did I? No, I can't remember. No,
So I haven't read it yet. I'm going to try and read it maybe this year. But I saw the first two movies, the series, and there's a Netflix series now, and I saw the Netflix series. And it was so good. I loved it very much, especially because, again, intentional execution of what the writer, director, producer has done with it is change it into something else. Some people who read the original story or watch the first movie or the second movie will be like, oh God, he changed it. And fair enough, he did. He did. He did. It is a fair complaint. But it's always what was the intention and was it executed properly? So yeah, that's how I feel about it. So I used to get really upset about adaptations, but after a while I'm just like it's all storytelling. It's a story. It does expose it to people who will never open the books. So yeah, I'm okay with it.
And another kind of adaptation that has another adaptation world that has opened up to me is, I mean, aside book adaptations, I've also started reading graphic novels or webtoons for them Koreans. So when I see webtoon adaptations, I'm always like, I mean, a webtoon is almost like a storyboard, right? Like, how much can they change? But like, the amount of things they change or add, and I'm like, ah, you know what? It actually makes sense, because this webtoon is like what? Like, just like
It's
25
flat.
boards, and then you watch it and like, ah. Oh,
Yeah.
you put
I
in
don't
savvy work. You know, I
I've
get
not
what you're
read
going for here.
I my best friend is the one who reads webtoons, and she's always like we'll start off a conversation, she'll be like this story, and you think it's going to be like a 1 minute segue, and she's telling you the whole thing, and then this happened, that happened, and that happened. And so she had been telling me about it's on Prime now, Marry My Husband, telling me about it for weeks.
Ooh,
And
you
then I
should
saw
watch
it's on
it.
Prime and I called, it's like your book is on TV. She's just like, yes.
I
So
just finished it, actually. Marry My
I
Husband.
haven't
That was a
seen.
good one. And actually, it's an ad adaptation of an adaptation. So
Oh,
there's a web
really?
novel, and then there's a webtoon
Oh, wow.
adaptation of the web novel. But I think the movie, the series is actually an adaptation of the web novel itself. So
Not
me,
the web.
I just watched the webtoon, which was also a different adaptation of the web novel. Different worlds. But yeah, that was things are happening out there.
Yeah, I think it's pretty great for stories and storytelling. And I think it also means like the barriers of entry to anything are kind of lowering, where if you can't write a full book, right, find an artist and be like, help.
Elaborate.
Yeah. So I think it's
Do
really
it.
great.
I'm all for that. You know what? I actually feel like, because you maybe because I read so much, so I'm always getting the question, when are you going to write it? And when are you going to write it? And I'm like, we cannot all be producers. Some of us have to be consumers in this life. Because if all of us are writing, who is going to read the book? I'm very okay being the reader. But I feel like in an ideal world, if I'm not like stressing about bills, if I was going to drop a book, it would probably be a graphic novel.
I think
I
go
feel
for
like,
it. I mean, even well, see, let me just agree with you there. Because bills, no, it's true. I was about to say, I was like, be honest, the bills part, that's very important. Because, and then I hope I have not been very annoying on this show, because I tend to be one of those annoying people that say my husband a lot. But
No, you have. I don't think you have been annoying. Actually, I was even going to ask you, like, wow, so your husband is a director. That means you're one of those power couples.
I don't know. The thing I want to say, I don't know if that will help that statement, because I like to harass him once in a while by saying, you know,
Mean, that's what husbands are
I'm a
for.
housewife. I'm just here. Right? I'd be like, please stop telling people that you are not a housewife. You have a big career. I'm saying, but you know, I'm mostly just here. I don't really need, you need the money. Don't pretend like you don't need the money. So that helps to actually write when you're not worrying about money, because when you're worrying about money, it's your brain is not braining.
True,
Yeah.
true.
But yes, definitely. I mean, I think there are a lot of artists now. Thank God
Oh,
for
we
Instagram.
do. We do.
And
I see so much good work out there. And I feel like we do need graphic novels on this end. Because
Yes.
I grew up on stuff like Super Strikers. So I feel like we have artists here. They just need like direction, just need a push.
Yeah, and then again, this is us asking a lot from publishing. It's now the money part of it, right?
Yeah, like who is going to take, who is going to
Yes. So I know Comic
their
Republic
money, put their
has
mouth with
been
their money.
trying for a while. There's this this guy that does the historical comics. Is it
Oh.
Hannah, oh God, what's the name? My daughter used to have Bushy. I don't know where they are now. There's Comic Republic. There's this other guy who does historical comics, like Jaja Opobo and
Oh,
Queen Amina
wow.
and things
That's so
like that.
cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there are people, but it ends up being very grant heavy or very trying to get into
Creative
schools.
industry needs money, and this is why I'm
Yes.
always like, okay, so this is a very niche podcast, so I know I don't have, I mean, thousands of followers, so I can say anything I want at the moment. I'm always like, all these people that are on the wrong side of the law that always have, like, money that they need to repurpose, I don't know. I don't know why they don't always come to the creative side. I mean, like, how many furniture stores does Nigeria need? Like, how many restaurants are we going to open? Like, I just feel like if they would put their money into like the creative industry, they would actually, because like the more these creative people grow, the more money you can actually make off. But I guess everybody here is always looking for immediate gratification.
We
Like,
just want something quick.
yeah, nobody plays the long game anymore. It's very embarrassing. Like, I have so many ideas for them if I ever catch any of them in a place. Like, I have ideas for days. You want a cash business? I got you. You want long term? I got you.
She's here offering consultants.
I will consult for free.
Ah,
Just let
free
me make
serve.
this happen.
No commission.
I'm so ready. Anywho. Oh God.
Somebody will hear your call. Don't worry.
Hopefully, I do hope somebody, yeah, hears it and like they reach out. Like, you know what I mean? What you said you were going to do, let's do it. Ah, see, I'm going to see. I'll spoil everybody. Ah,
Spoil
anywho.
everybody.
Oh my goodness, this has been so much fun. And in case anybody has gotten to this part and you think we digressed, we did not digress. We were talking about the bishop's prodigal daughter. This is Tim Andrew's debut, and I'm looking forward to more books because right now is like there's an itch at the at my back and I can't reach it. So you kind of need to
Oh.
write the remaining so that I can feel relief in my life. So
Okay.
I'm on hold. And now that I know that you are writing more, that means I have an extra reason to stay alive. So I'm
Oh,
very happy for that. Yeah, like I said, no pressure. This is I tend to be very dramatic, but there's no there's no pressure. Take your time. All
no
right.
worries. Thank you so much. much.
All right. Yeah. So, now that you, okay, no, this message will not be for you. I think like the extra message will be for readers
No.
after this chat for those who have
Okay.
stayed long enough. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for talking books and reading with me. This has
Thank
been
you for
so much
having
fun.
me. And I'm so
Yay.
happy you liked the book.
I
Yay.
did. This episode's TMI is something I usually use to catch people, not catch people, but like I usually use it to win when I'm playing two truths and a lie. So I wasn't breastfed as a child. My mom, apparently, from the story I've been told, my mom was so traumatized for the breast milk to come out, and I wasn't breastfed. So something happened when she went to the market one time with me. Well, I wasn't there. I've only been told, but they've told me the story so many times that, God damn it. So she was about to pay for something and she had me on her arm and then she gave me to a woman next to her. After she finished paying, she looked around and the person had taken me away. And this is when we were in Congo. We hadn't moved to Nigeria then. In case you didn't know, I was born in Congo Brazzaville. So they went around the market. My grandma came out, her sisters, everybody was looking for me. Eventually, they found me suckling at this woman's breast. Apparently, she's a woman who has been looking for a child for a long time, and I just happened to be there at the right time. And I was there sucking a breast that had no milk. I guess I was just enjoying the motion of breastfeeding. But yeah, I usually use that as something. Either I say I wasn't breastfed as a child, or I say I was kidnapped when I was a baby. And people always think it's a lie. They always think that's the lie. But yeah, now you know. That's my TMI. Well, do you have any funny childhood memories you'd like to share with me?
Yay, you made it to the end. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would love to read or hear any comments or feedback you have, and you can do that by sending me a message on Twitter or Instagram at Lip Gloss Mafia. That's LipGlossMaffia. Subscribe or follow now so you don't miss out on the next episode, which is always available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. If you enjoy this podcast, and I know you do because you are still listening, kindly spread the book love by spreading the word. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, rate and leave a review. What this does is it helps new listeners find the show. As you know, shares and reviews are my love language. Thank you in advance. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you for listening. Readers, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And like Jim Rohn said, reading is essential for those who seek to rise above the ordinary. Happy reading, everyone. Bye.